Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters. As we meet here this beautiful fall morning, we have brothers and sisters who are meeting all over the world. Depending on the time zone, they are our brothers and sisters. All over Asia, Europe, Africa, North and South America, everywhere. Brothers and sisters. I was in the barber shop the other day, and a lady came in, and we got to talking. And I could detect an accent. So I said, "Where are you from?" She said, "Icelandia." "Icelandia, are there people there?" Yeah, that's the first person I've ever met from Icelandia. Turns out she's a Christian lady. So we have brothers and sisters, and we're brothers and sisters right here this morning. Some years ago, I think in the 70s, a man named Francis Schaeffer wrote a book. He was a pretty well-known teacher around the world. A philosopher, psychologist, Bible teacher. And being in the 70s, he had just lived through the terrible 60s. The 60s may have been close to the worst time in the history of our country. It was like today, the protests, the cries for communism. And the professors had infiltrated our universities. So Francis Schaeffer wrote about the problems and the difficulties in the world and in the culture and in the church. And his book was titled, "How Shall We Then Live in the Light of All the Problems? How Shall We Live?" Now, I'm here this morning with the same question. In the light of the world conditions, and I don't need to go through them, you know what's happening. You know this is a difficult time globally and in our country and in our own families. The question is, how shall we live today? We are Christian people. What is our role in this world? How can we make our lives count? Meaningful? How can we have some influence on what is going on today? We cannot ignore it. We're a part of it. How then shall we live today? I want to give you what I think is the biblical answer. Then we'll explore it together. And get comfortable, because we're going on a long trip. Going all the way to the Sea of Galilee. how shall we live? We should live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want your life to be meaningful, count for something? Be a disciple. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee. You see, we're already there. That was a fast trip. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they said, "No way, we're very comfortable in our job here, and we're not." They immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee. Now there's a name for you. Young couples are always searching for names. So think about Zebedee. At least it's better than Zerubbabel. James, the son, John, his brother, in a ship with dear old Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and Jesus called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Let's bow for prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall on us. Melt us. Mold us, fill us, use us, Spirit of the living God, fall upon us. Amen. Now, we need to explore this matter of this calling, because James and John, Peter and Andrew, become disciples. What is involved in being a disciple? What is it like? Now, I'm going to give you 9 points. But don't get scared. It'll go pretty quickly. I suggest you write these down, put them on your refrigerator, the mirror, in your bathroom. It will help you every day. The word disciple in the Greek language is mathetai. It simply means learner. The first point is the fact that a disciple is a learner. So if someone asks you if you're a disciple, say yes if you think that. It's not boasting. You're not putting yourself above other Christians. You're simply saying, I'm a learner. I'm a student. And you ask me, well, how long do you learn? Now, I don't know exactly, but I know it's past 90. Be a learner. Secondly, be willing to be identified with Jesus Christ. Take Peter. Let's look at Peter for an example. When the Lord was arrested and they went to the trial, it says, Peter went to warm himself at the fire, and three times they accused him of being with Christ. Three times he denied, and one time he even cussed at him. He was not willing to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing, in the face of persecution, ridicule, people laughing at you? We run across those times. Be willing to be a part of Him, identified with Him. If you need to walk away in certain instances, if you know a bad story or a bad joke is coming on, walk away. You don't have to be a part of that. Rather, be identified as a disciple. Thirdly, He uses the word, follow me. What's he saying? Come with me. Join me. Let's be united. Let's live together. Let's minister together. You are in me and I am in you. Follow me. Number four, he said, follow me. Means follow him exclusively. Have no other gods, no other master. No other Lord. If you follow Him exclusively, you'll have a pure heart. If your heart isn't pure, it's mixed. I mean, you're trying to do two things. You're living with the world as your master, or yourself. Somebody is our master. Follow me. Now we're at number five. Aren't we traveling fast? Yeah, good. It's going to slow down. Number five, follow me wholeheartedly. Top priority. The center of my life is being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what I live for. That's the main thing. It's with all your heart. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's life. Peter and Andrew left their nets. In a sense, they left the world. James and John left their nets, their business, their livelihood. And they left their father. Someone said they left their old man. Follow me with all your heart. Don't mess around. Be a disciple. Number six, follow me faithfully. That is, every day. Consistently, constantly. It's too bad that the term part-time Christian service, there's no such thing as full-time Christian servants and part-time. We're Christians all day long, every one of us. We should be faithful every day. Be someone that can count on you. Be someone who keeps your word. Keep your word. Be faithful. Be faithful to him. Sometimes you meet people and we call them moody because we don't know what mood they're going to be in. You don't know if they're going to be angry or depressed or happy or look like they swallowed a dill pickle or what. Be faithful. Number seven, follow obediently. You are not in charge. God is in charge. As a learner, we learn from him. We learn to take orders. Now, when I was about 12 years old, my father died. My mother had five children, so it was hard for her to keep us, to learn to take orders. I didn't do very well. But by the blessing of God, I went in the army. And I learned to to take orders. And you better learn. You know what? As Christians, we have a new master. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We don't run our own life. Sometimes you'll see on the storefront, under new management, carry a sign around with you, under new management. That's a Christian. That's a disciple. Number eight, we follow closely. Back to the Apostle Peter, when the Lord was going to the house to be tried, it says, Peter followed him afar off. Follow closely. Do the people who know you have a sense that you follow him closely? Does anyone think of you as a disciple? Is your life counting for something real? Do you have a sense of deep devotion to him? Follow closely. Now we could go on, and there's probably a 100 things we could list, but we don't have time for that. But you could look it up. You study your Bible, make your own list. Now the question is, if I follow him, where will he lead me? And as Aaron read Psalm 23 this morning, the Bible says, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That's where he'll take you. Into a life of purity and honesty and truthfulness and cleanliness. Don't get into something that's not honoring to him and claim that he led you. He leads in paths of righteousness. That's wonderful. He leads, secondly, into service. Christians who follow him serve him. And it's only logical and real because Jesus is the head of all servants. He said, I came to serve. Is that your attitude in life? Are you a servant? It's the highest calling is to be a servant. Is there someone today whom you could serve, who you could help, encourage, a phone call, a letter? To be a servant, that's being a disciple. Now, the third way he will lead us is into battle. We are in a battle today. It is warfare. Spiritually, politically, and many other ways, we are at war. We are all in the army with Christ as the commander-in-chief. Don't sit in the barracks. Get out. And let's win the battle. In the fourth place, he will lead us into safety beside the still waters, in the green pastures. Our shepherd leads us. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? If you think it is, shout amen.
Amen.
It's just so great to be a part of the Lord and what he's doing. And in this passage, we see that the Lord initiated everything. He called them personally, individually, and he's done so for you. You are not a Christian by accident or chance, roll of the dice or the deck of cards. It's by him. Are you a disciple? Now, there is no age limit. Junior high, high school, why are you there? You are there to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. You in college? Why? A disciple. Why do you work where you work? To be a disciple. Why are you in the family? To disciple. There's no difference, male, female, age limit. Be a disciple. Now, disciples become disciplers. And that's the heart of Christian ministry. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. That's the heart of this whole thing. Now, in recent years, too many of our churches have lost discipleship, centering on everything else you couldn't think of. And our churches have lost influence in the culture. We will never have influence again until we return to discipleship. in the church. Discipleship can take place in many ways. Sunday morning preaching, Wednesday night Bible studies. Okay. But the chief thing is one-on-one. That's where it is. Be involved. Be meeting with someone. Pray for someone you can look to who'll be a part of your life. If you're an older Christian, look for some young person in whom you can invest your life and help them. How do we make mature Christian? We grow them. Be a disciple. And then a discipler. It's the Lord's calling. And the word calling is not just a weak little invitation. It's a word with authority. A word that's closer to a command. When Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me," they knew it was something beyond just going to dinner. It was big. Is the call of God upon your life this morning? To be someone who counts for Him. May God grant that it will be so. And if you're going to follow someone, who greater or better to follow than the Lord? He is so wonderful. He is such a great companion. It's glorious to be with Him. I tell you, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. Almighty God is He. Oh, He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Amen.